It's a pretty familiar passage, and I'll read it. It will be up here on the screen if you want to follow along. So Mark chapter 10, starting in verse 13. People were bringing little children to Jesus to have him touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and blessed them. This is the word of the Lord. So you just heard from the missions team how God worked through them and through TCM to impact so many of the kids. I know for myself right now, I actually miss spending time with some of those kids because really the 4 days that we spent with them, it didn't seem very long at all. And I love the month of August because we had so many opportunities to reach out, especially to children, including the community day on August 10th. And so this whole past month, just the idea of children, reaching them and really regarding them as important has been something that's been on my heart. And so with our community day, with the missions trip, these two events, they truly reflect the heart of Jesus that we see in our passage today. So in the passage, people are bringing little children to Jesus, but the disciples, they stop them. They turn them away. They say, "You can't come to Jesus." And the reasons why the disciples do this, it's not clear. We don't know why the disciples are preventing the children from coming to Jesus. You know, the children could have been sick, and so the parents were bringing the children to get healing, but the disciples were thinking, "Oh my goodness, so many sick kids, let's keep them away from Jesus." Or it could have been that the parents wanted a blessing for their children. They wanted Jesus to teach their children, but the disciples were like, "They're children, they're not really going to understand what Jesus is teaching, so let's keep the children off to the side and let Jesus minister to the adults." But whatever the reasons are, it's not what's important because the Bible doesn't tell us what those reasons are. That's not the important part. What is important is how Jesus responds. There's two verses dedicated to Jesus' response to his disciples. The first part of his response is he actually gets angry. And you don't see Jesus get angry a lot through the Gospels. If you read through the Gospels, he doesn't get angry very often. He's portrayed as a very compassionate, a very loving man. But here he gets angry at his disciples. And he tells them, "Let the little children come. Do not stop them." And the reason Jesus is so angry, the reason why he speaks to his disciples kind of harshly, is because he knows that little children are so important. And so he uses them as an example. He uses them as a role model. And when we think of role models, we wouldn't think of little children. For instance, we have little Emma, who runs around our church a lot. We wouldn't necessarily look at her and say, "Oh, what can we learn from Emma today?" No, the people we kind of look for to be our role models, to be influential, are like celebrities. You know, you think of Ariana Grande, the Kardashians. We look at them and we're like, "Oh yeah, we want to be like them. We want to run our businesses or make music like they do." Or we look at CEOs like Tim Cook or Jeff Bezos. We might look at athletes, Kawhi Leonard, LeBron James, Mike Trout. And we think, "Yeah, let's be like them. They're good role models. Look at how much work they do for charity. Look at how rich they are." But we never look at children and think, "Oh, let's be like a little child." But that's exactly what Jesus teaches us in this passage. He says, "I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it. So what do little children actually teach us? Well, they teach us about being helpless and dependent. So two qualities, being helpless and being dependent. And these are not two qualities that we're taught to go after. No one's taught to be a helpless person. No one wants to be dependent. In fact, we're taught to be the opposite. We're taught to be helpful to those around us. We're taught to be independent. You know, when I was growing up, I had all of these landmark ages, right? 17 years old is when I was going to get my license, and I was going to be able to drive, and I was going to get one step closer to independence. When I turned 18, when I graduated high school, I would go off to college. Again, I get out of my parents' house. I wouldn't have to live under their rules, and I would be more independent. Or 21, I'm actually an adult now. I can vote. I can drink alcohol. I can buy cigarettes. I didn't do any of those things, but I could, because now I'm an adult, and I'm more independent. And these are the things that I looked forward to. Or after college, I would get a job, I would make my own money, then I could buy the things that I wanted to buy. And I was always looking forward to getting more and more independence. If you look around the world, we see this too. Independence is something that's celebrated, right? In the US, we celebrate the 4th of July every year because that's when America became independent. Other countries celebrate their independence from being colonized. But Jesus, he tells us we need to be like little children, and we need to recognize that we are helpless and dependent. You see, the kingdom of God, it does not work the same way as the kingdoms of this world. The kingdom of God is for those who are helpless and dependent. And now this may make some of you uncomfortable. You may not want to be that person that has to rely on other people. You like to be the one who takes care of things. You like to contribute. I felt this way before. I had an older brother in my home church who decided that he was going to really care for me, really invest in our relationship together. So oftentimes he would take me out for a meal. And every time, he would pay for me. And after like the second or third meal, I was like, I feel like I should split the bill with you. I feel like I should pay. But he would never let me. And you know, some of the youth here, when I try to take them out too, they always try to offer. And I never let them. They want to contribute. They want to feel like they're not just relying on someone. Well, if you're kind of like that, I've got good news, and I've got bad news for you. See, when we look at the kingdom of God, there is absolutely nothing that we can do to enter it. Like, there's nothing that we have to do to earn our place in the kingdom of God. We can't do anything. So it's not about fulfilling a certain checklist. It's not like, if I go to church every week for 1 year, I'm going to get into the kingdom of God. It's not like if I read the Bible and I pray every day, I'm going to get into the kingdom of God. Entrance to God's family and his kingdom is not something we earn. It's a gift. It's absolutely free. You know, just as I got free meals from my older brother, just as I give free meals to some of the youth here, it's free. We don't expect them to have to earn it. And it was the same. As we were sharing about this camp, about our experiences, the kids that go to this camp, they don't have to pay a single penny. It's absolutely free for them to get in. And they're not required to take a test beforehand to see if they qualify to get into the camp. They simply just sign up. And in the same way, we can't earn our way into God's kingdom. We don't contribute to that. There's no interview process where God looks at us and he says, oh, did you do this? Did you do that? Okay, I'll let you in. No, he says, this is a free gift to you. But if you're someone who really, really feels like you want to do something, you want to have a part in entering the kingdom, there's good news for you, because there is something that you can do. And that is, you can accept the gift. You can show up. You can say, yes, I will receive this free gift. You know, in the Gospels, we get this parable that Jesus tells the Pharisees and his disciples, and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like a banquet, right? A king, he throws this big party, and he sends out all of these invitations. But people start making excuses. They say, oh, I have to take care of my field. I have to take care of my oxen, my sheep. Or I have to spend time with my wife. I have to spend time with my parents. I can't go to this banquet. So you have to make the choice to accept God's free gift to you. You have to make the choice to say, I want to be a part of God's kingdom. And this is a choice that you have to make on your own. No one else can do it for you. God doesn't force his gift upon anybody. He doesn't say, you must choose me. You must be part of my family. He says, no, here's my gift. You can take it or you can leave it. You know, your parents can't decide to you. Your parents can't decide for you. As much as your parents drag you to church each and every week, that doesn't mean you're in the kingdom of heaven. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you're part of the kingdom. But it's a choice that you have to make to say, God, I will receive you. That's what gets you into the kingdom of heaven. So if you want independence, if you want to make a choice for yourself, this is where you get it. And the question is, are you willing to do that? Do you accept God's gift? And are you willing to be like a child who is utterly dependent on God? Right? Because we know, if you've grown up in the church, if you've come to this church before, we've talked about what separates us from God. Right? It's our sin that separates us from God. And there's nothing that we can do to solve that problem of sin. You know, in fact, we're people that just keep adding to that problem. We keep sinning each and every day. And so God had to give the solution. He had to send Jesus Christ to die on the cross. And we are dependent upon that. Now, you may think that's the only thing that we have to depend on, but it doesn't really stop there, because if you truly want to live the Christian life, if you really desire to live the way that God wants you to, you'll realize very soon that that's not something that you can do on your own. For instance, the reason why I was so stressed this morning was because throughout the week, my parents, they were visiting, which I'm very, very, very grateful for. But I went out with them to have meals. I went out with them to Niagara Falls. And that kind of took some time out of my week. And for the rest of the time that I was preparing for today, I was kind of rushing through things. I was kind of just staring at the Bible. And I was doing all of these things on my own effort. I was thinking, okay, what can I come up with? What can I come up with? And I wasn't relying on God. You know, some of the missions team, they shared that on Monday, 2 Mondays ago, we went to the zoo. We brought 26 kids to the zoo. And among the kids, there were some 6-year-olds, very young children. Now, can you imagine if we had just told the 6-year-old, okay, you can go out, find your way to the zoo on your own? Without anyone to guide the 6-year-old would surely get lost. They wouldn't be able to make it to the zoo. They'd probably just walk around the block hundreds of times, and they get tired out. Yet that's how we sometimes live the Christian life. We kind of just live it where we walk around thinking we're doing the right thing, we're doing what we're supposed to be, when in fact we are just relying on our own efforts. We think, all right, if only I read 20 chapters of the Bible a day, that will grow my faith. Or if I serve more at church, if I put in more and more hours of serving at church, that will grow my faith. But do we ever ask God for his direction? Do we ever ask God what he wants us to be doing to grow our faith? And as we are doing the work of God, are we relying on him, or are we relying on our education, our experiences, other people to help us? See, the reason why Jesus tells us that we need to be like little children is because they recognize how helpless they are. So they have to depend on someone else. And that's the essence of the gospel message, is that we have to depend on God. You know, one of the highlights for me on the missions trip was that every morning and almost every night, because I missed the first night, we would pray together as a team. And that praying together as a team showed our dependence on God. We would commit the day into his hands because, again, like I said, we were kind of getting in over our heads. We never really met with these kids before. We didn't go on missions trips as a team before. And so we needed God. We needed God to show up. See, in God's eyes, we are all little children. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. To God, you are a little child. He looks at you and he sees someone who is helpless, and he wants to help you. We might not like to admit that, but we need to learn to accept that. In God's eyes, we are absolutely 100% dependent on him. There is nothing that we can do apart from him. So God desires for us to be like little children. He desires to be a father to us. And the verse ends with Jesus taking the little children in his arms. He puts his hands on them and he blesses them. And that's exactly what God wants to do for us. He wants us to come to him knowing that we need him, and that he will take us in his arms and he will bless us. So this morning, church, again, it doesn't matter how old you are. You are a little child in God's eyes. May we approach him like little children do, absolutely depending on him. Would you join me as we pray? Heavenly Father, this short passage can speak so much to us. And it speaks a message that is very different from the message that we hear from the world, that tells us to strive for independence, that tells us that we don't need anybody, or that if we try hard enough, we'll be able to achieve whatever our dreams are. These are positive and good-sounding messages, but they're not the truth. The truth is, we are little children who are helpless and who need a loving father, who need someone that we can depend on. And you choose to be that father for us, even though we are very rebellious, even though we don't always listen. You still love us and you still desire to bless us. And so, Father, Lord, I pray that we would seek you as little children. I pray that we would look to you to see what your plans are for our lives, to know where you have gifted us so that we don't try to chase false dreams, or so that we're not completely disappointed when things don't work out, because that's not how you've gifted us. So, Father, Lord, I pray for myself. I pray for my brothers and sisters sitting here in this room, that you would not let us go throughout the days of our week thinking, we can do it on our own. We can do it. If I just put in more effort, I got this. But God, would you bring us to our knees? Would you bring us before you to know that you are the God who is in control, that you are all-powerful and you desire to bless us and you desire to help us. Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. We pray these things in the powerful and precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.